we're back, motherfuckers! Woo! We are back for episode number 47 of Mai Tai Happy Hour. What? We are so close to the Big 5-0.
We are so close to the Big 5-0.
We are so close. I can feel it. I can taste it in your mouth.
What?
I can, yes. I can taste George. It emanating from your, like, orifices
all the way over here. I brushed my teeth today. It's not as mint.
I am so psyched for what we've accomplished in this short amount of time.
We have come pretty far, man.
I oddly enough cannot hear my there we go. Hold on. My headphones are being all kinds of jacked up right now. And you just keep talking. What do we got on the show today?
So what do we have on the show today? Well, we're going to teach you a fun drink for the holidays. What I want to focus on leading into the holiday season is different kinds of punches that you can bring to parties to be the hit of the party by bringing the punch to the party.
To be the party wolf, you say?
No, George. The wolf is dead.
The wolf is dead.
The wolf is dead.
Cuddle muffins.
I am cuddle muffins.
We are also going to be talking about how much Walking Dead has turned and fallen off the face of this earth. We held out for way too long, and we're fools for doing so, because that show has become hot garbage, and I just don't understand. We're gonna walk through at what point it went to shit, and maybe see if we agree. I don't know. I think this season is getting the worst ratings ever.
Oh, it's tanking, yo.
And I don't know. I don't know if there's any hope left for the show, for the dead. For the dead might be dead soon.
Dead might be dead soon.
But it probably won't, because the ratings are probably still better than most shows on television.
Still better than most anything
now.
Else on TV.
What else are we talking about today, Hambone?
I'm going to break down the Crisis on Earth X, and I'm going to compare it and contrast it a little bit to the shit show that was the Justice League.
Wait, for those intelligent listeners, those who are not dumb enough to listen to watch DC...
George...
You're going to have to explain what you're talking about
so
here.
So Crisis on Earth X is the four-part crossover that takes place in the Berlantiverse.
Shut up! That's not what I said! I just wanted you to tell us that you're going to talk about the shitty DC TV shows that you watch, and then you're going to explain to us the stupid crossover, and I'm going to make fun of your face because we don't talk about DC on this show.
We don't talk about DC, but I love it.
What else are we going to talk about, Hambone?
You're going to give your final thoughts on Mario Odyssey.
I got a whole lot of ranting to do. I have had a hell of a week.
Okay.
I've got ranting. I'm going to talk about Mario Odyssey. We're to final thoughts on Punisher. I'm going to talk about just everything. All the reviews. I'm going to put a giant bow on everything.
This is the Mai Tai TV review
this
show.
This is the bow I'm going to put on this fucking planet.
We're going to wrap it up.
And then we're going to talk about the 40th anniversary of one of our favorite bands, X. Talk about...
So happy.
Talk about all the awesome times we've seen them and why they're the best band ever and why we think maybe more people should listen to them, because I feel that X does not get the love that some of their contemporaries get, or even some of like the Ramones or the Clash. I think X are up there and they just don't get the love that they should get.
Critically loved, not so much loved by the world.
Is X up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year?
I mean, they could have been eligible for about a decade and a half, but no, they're not up.
They're not
yet.
On the list of
not
people? Are list. You positive?
Pretty positive.
Are you 100% positive, Hambone?
I am so positive, I'm going to quietly Google it while you're ranting.
If you are wrong, can I spank you?
No.
Live on air.
No.
Live on air. Can
George,
I spank
you're
you?
You're married.
No, I think I can. Start looking. Start looking now.
I said quietly while you're ranting.
Okay. Anyhow. While Hambone talks, we are going to get into, while he Google searches to prove that I'm right and he's wrong, so we can spank him on air next week with a professional spanker. Now we sound like a bad Howard Stern skit.
Well, now you're talking.
We are going to talk a little bit about punches. Holidays bring out the party in people.
They bring
I know
out the party
for,
people.
For us, from pretty much... From Thanksgiving on to New Year's, it's parties every week, depending on if there's also that tiki party that comes out after the holidays. We
right.
could just keep going. And the one thing that makes life so much easier at holiday parties is punch.
I agree. And punch is something that's really casual for the person who maybe wants to have one or two. And then the person who wants to have 12 or more, punch is where it's at. It's a great spot to have in your party, a nice punch bowl where people can congregate around. People are talking. There's snacks being passed. If you're like us, you're wearing festive shirts year-round, because that's how we've been known to do.
So, quick story. When I was young, when we lived at our old home in South Valley Road in the bad part of West Orange, over on the other side of town.
On the wrong side of the tracks.
There's no tracks in West Orange. Not even a light rail. Shut your mouth. My mom decided to throw a get together. I may have been the young, tender age. I was in third grade. So I was like, what, seven, eight, maybe? And she created up, she had a punch bowl for this holiday party. Could have been one of my sister's birthdays. Didn't know. I also didn't realize she spiked it with whatever rums and whatnot Greeks put in there. Ouzo, I don't know. And I started, it's fruit punch. Bam, bam, bam. My parents knew there was alcohol in it and proceeded to watch their child get shit-faced everywhere. Everywhere. That was my earliest memory of punches. And that sums up a little bit about what my life is like.
Could you imagine an 8-year-old drunk conversation? Yeah, tell me Santa, man.
I was like, I don't understand. I'm so sleepy. I don't understand.
I know I should go to sleep, but man, I just want to keep hanging out. I want to meet Santa. I love Santa.
I love Santa so much. I just can't feel my tongue. I can't feel my tongue, mommy.
Oh, man, that's so hard. I don't think we're going to pass social studies.
Drunk baby George.
That'd be adorable.
I don't know how to conjugate vowels, but I can't feel my tongue.
I mean, if you've got a full beard at 8, you should be able to have a couple drinks.
I had a full beard in elementary school. I was shaving by 5th grade.
Yeah.
I legitimately had this dirt stash, and I was just like, just rubbing my dad's single blade over there, just bleeding, and it was bad because I looked like a child molester when I was still a child.
Yeah, so since you've been shaving since you were in 5th grade, your upper lip looks like New Jack's forehead. I get it.
It's pretty bad, which is why I now wear a beard most of the time.
I get it.
So is X in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, they're not.
Are they eligible this year?
I mean, it doesn't say eligibility. It doesn't say anything about them.
Does it say
them.
They're in the nominations?
They are nowhere near the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Nowhere.
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 Fuck. No spanking. No spanking.
I kind of
your ass
about
is
that.
Gotten a reprieve for one more week,
George.
God, it's so nice, pox and all.
Look at this, like new pair of jeans. My ass looks great. So the punch we're going to tell you about today is called the peg leg punch.
But why is punch so important at a holiday party?
Punch is important at a holiday party because that's where people go to get shit faced. That's where the bar is. And you know what's great about a punch?
What?
No one actually has to make a cocktail. You don't have to sit there and be like, oh, what kind of booze does this random booze does this person have? Oh, he's got like licorice flavored liquor. What can I mix with that? It's already mixed. It's all there, ready to go. You put it out in a nice little cup. You hang out, and hopefully someone kisses you underneath the mistletoe. Mistletoe is what we call our belts.
So what recipe do you have that would be perfect for everybody's holiday party this year?
So tonight we're going to talk about the peg leg punch. Once again, from the Beach Bum Berry app. I'm really enjoying this. What this is a punch that serves 20 different people. Now, it was originally developed in 2002, and the ingredients are pretty simple. 3 3/4 cups of grapefruit juice, 3 3/4 cups of vodka, 15 ounces of aquavit, 10 ounces of fresh
lemon
juice.
What is aquavit?
Come on,
what is aquavit?
You're dying to know, aren't
you? You're giving us a punch right now. You have no idea what the fuck aquavit is.
It's a generic for a traditional Scandinavian caraway-infused neutral spirit. Most brands are not aged. Notably, however, Linni Aquavit is aged in a cast springboard from Oslo, Norway, down under the equator and back again, giving it a softer mouthfeel and a light amber color.
Is this something you can actually buy anywhere?
Sure, you can get at the liquor store.
All right, fine.
Shopper's Vineyard. You know they have everything, George. 10 ounces of fresh lemon juice. 7.5 ounces of orgeat, 5 ounces of sugar syrup, and a handful of mint leaves, you know, to give it that festive look, and 1 fresh-cut lemon cut into small sections. This will get you nice and toasty when you're sitting roasting your chestnuts by a warm fire.
You love to roast your chestnuts, don't you?
You know that's right, George.
I mean, come on. That's all you keep talking about is how good your nuts look in those new non-skinny jeans you've been wearing lately.
For those listening at home, we had a revelation a little while ago. Revelation that everyone else I know had, but no one told me because they wanted to spare my feelings because I'm...
Sensitive.
A sensitive
Way
male.
Way too sensitive.
Way too sensitive. I have been wearing skinny jeans for almost 20 years and... I'm almost 40, and maybe skinny jeans wasn't the right fashion choice for me.
Someone did not tell Hambone that skinny jeans are meant for skinny people. Do you know what I don't wear? I don't wear skinny jeans because I'm 6 foot tall and 205 pounds.
But you look skinny.
But I don't wear skinny jeans.
Well,
like I wear straight jeans and you can still see my testicles through them. You don't need to go that hard.
I feel like a lot more people have seen my balls through my skinny jeans than maybe I thought. And I've learned
every
from this.
Every week when you used to show up to the show, when we used to the TV, I was like, I can see your balls. Like clearly nothing else is that defined, but your balls are really there. Like it's like, I don't know. It's like, are you here to play like polo? Like, what are we doing?
Mistakes were made, and now we wear big boy pants.
And we can all thank your country career for that.
When Hambone went country, I went and got a pair of bootcut jeans that were actually fit for my body, and everyone responded very favorably.
Now, I will put it out there for the women that have loved you in the past.
They have loved me.
Like, they have fallen in love with you with the skinny jeans on.
I've got a big personality.
And I know a lot of these women actually still listen to this podcast. So I want to put it out there that if you actually were a fan of Hambone's pants and his hamsticles in the skinny jeans... I want you to private message me and tell me the truth. Like, are you upset that we've taken this away from the world? Like, if you want him back in skinny jeans, maybe we'll compromise and we'll put him in spandex and he can look like an Iron Maiden video circa 1984.
No, too fast.
Possibly
spandex.
Stripes. I don't know. Like, I'm going to give it a benefit of doubt. Like, if women think that's hot, who am I to argue?
Well, you know, decisions were made.
Anyway, so we've found this perfect style for you. It's called like grown dude Jace, and we're happy for it. And hopefully now, you know, the Poonan will start coming in and the world will be good.
Hopefully.
The world will be good. And I apologize if what I just said was offensive to women because I'm scared shitless of saying anything on the air anymore.
Yeah, be careful.
Like,
be nice.
I can't talk. Like, I'm afraid. Like, I love everybody. I really do. Especially Hambone.
He's a lover.
Not a fighter. I got to get off my chest. Like, Hambone, my mom.
Finish the statement.
For some reason, thought that Hambone's married to another friend of mine. And I explained to her, no, Hambone's not married to this friend of mine who you thought was Hambone's wife. It's actually his best friend. Hambone is single. And the record scratched. It was
who are you?
Like, it was just insane. My mom did not comprehend how the nicest guy in the entire world was single, and the biggest asshole in the world, me, was like happily married with a kid and stuff.
You have a wonderful family.
And I told my mom, I'm like, Hambone's working on it. You know, he got rid of the skinny jeans.
That was a big step,
He's trying. And she's like, we must find him a Greek girl. And I'm like, what? It's like, we gotta find him a Greek girl. There's gotta be some like old biddy that's still around in the island somewhere we can import. I'm like, mom, that's not a bad idea. I think we should look into it.
Mom.
I mean, it's not like Russians. Like, I know you kind of have to be rich to get a Greek girl like that, like really bag one. It's not like just get her your license plate or green card. You need to actually,
George.
You know, Greeks are mostly gold diggers, like most Greek women. So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but my mom is all in. She immediately friended him on Facebook.
She did immediately friend me on Facebook. I was like, why is your mom friending me on Facebook all of a sudden?
Because she needs to find him a Greek girl. So she's now like going back and forth looking at who's still like single, and it's not going too well because up till now it's been like Nicole, Charlie, and Phyllis, and that's about it.
Yeah, and she's happily married.
And there was actually another one too, but she's also now engaged. So she's working on it. She's like told the entire island of Galaxidi that like to be on the lookout. And we've put posters of you all around our like island, and we're gonna see what we're gonna do this summer. So
I'm a lot better on paper.
The Greek Hambone tour will begin. We will be taking him to Greece in April, and it's
I can't wait to see your beautiful country.
And this is gonna be the best episode ever of my Thai Happy Hour. So that's where we're at. I don't know how I got on this tangent. Let's talk about Walking Dead.
Yes.
So the Walking Dead was one of my favorite comic books for a long time. When I found out that there was a comic book that did zombies right, where it wasn't just like I think at the time it came out, it was like fast zombies were the thing, which made no sense, and then it did a great job humanizing a zombie apocalypse, which is kind of hard to do if you ask me.
For reals.
Read the comic book, made it all the way. I would buy the big books, made it all the way to issue 100. The TV show started up about 5-6 years ago, I believe, and it meandered a little bit. We had an issue where Darabond, is that his name?
Frank Darabont.
Frank Darabont was the showrunner. He got the boot after for season one.
Six episodes, and he called it a day.
There was good characters, but the stories were kind of all over the place. And then it started getting into a groove of, like, good season? Good season? Like, we weren't quite sure where they're going. They started doing trying to be very intelligent. The writing was almost like, we've got a zombie show, but instead of being like, zombie, 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 we're going to be like, lots of talking, lots of thinking, lots of intelligence. The problem is, this is a zombie show.
I think that they forget that it's a zombie show, like, midstream every season.
And they're like, we've got to gore, 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 make up for it. Like, gore. And I don't know. I got to the point last season I was really excited. They botched the whole season with the governor up, and the governor was one of the best. Like, they botched that up so bad because in the comic, you know, I'd read the comic book, so I did have that part of me that was constantly like, kind of like the George R. R. Martin thing where I'm like, yeah, but it was better in the book. But in Game of Thrones, it was actually better on TV.
Right.
In the books, like, Michonne is kidnapped by the governor, and he's kind of just mean to her, and she wants him dead.
Right.
In the comic books, he rapes her.
Yeah.
And beats her.
It's a lot worse.
And lets his people rape her and beat her over and over and over again. So when she comes back to exact revenge on the governor, it's like, I get it. I feel it. It's like, not, oh, you were mean to me.
Which is terrible, and to me, I didn't understand the disconnect, because at that point in Walking Dead's TV series, they pretty much had carte blanche. Like, when you have a successful series and they're talking about making a spinoff, you can do whatever you want. If they were like, AMC, we're going to do this, and they've done worse on Breaking Bad, I don't understand why they didn't go full tilt with the story.
Look, it's possible that there was, like, this anti-rape thing with, like, Game of Thrones. There was, like, it was a cheap gimmick.
Right.
But in this case, a zombie apocalypse,
part of the story,
when men are scumbags and shit happens, like, I think it lends itself to, what is the worst thing you do to a person who will want them to cut your limbs off and leave you a corpse who then has to come back as, like, a paraplegic killer?
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then we went through that weird saga where they go and they find those people, the cannibals living in the, I don't know, they meandered to some fortress somewhere that I'm blanking on right now.
Yeah, it all blends together to me, to be honest.
But what happened was they then went for the second. Are you about to eat?
What?
Are you eating on air?
It's a cough drop.
Okay, fine. You can have a cough drop.
It's a lozenge.
I was like, why are you pulling nuts out of your pants? I'm like, oh, because we can't see them anymore.
George.
this past season, they introduced the new big bad, which is...
Negan.
Negan. And Negan in the book is horrible. I mean, he is like cartoon supervillain. And I see, sorry. He's like a cartoon supervillain, and he kills people brutally. And I will say, they went all in and they did it on TV.
They did it on TV.
But they haven't done really much else. Like, the book wraps it up in a couple, like, it's back and forth, there's a lot of blood, but it ends eventually. Here it's like they're afraid to do what?
I don't know. Every so often I give up on the show, and then a friend of mine will call me, and she'll be like, oh, did you see it? It was so amazing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it. And I'll watch, and it'll be good for a couple episodes, and it'll fall back into the same trap. Oh, they got captured again. Oh, they... You know, oh, they're short on food, or these bad hill people are trying to kill us again. But there's no zombies. Like, they'll go episodes without seeing like a single zombie. And I think that this is what, 7-8 seasons. They have to kind of go home with the show, right?
And there's Fear of the Walking Dead. I don't know anybody who watches it, but it does it well enough for them to keep it on air. Which is why I think even though Walking Dead is having the worst ratings it's ever had, it's not going to go anywhere because Fear of the Walking Dead is still alive.
I think at this point, if they wrapped up the series this season, they can go out on top. Because after this, what's going to happen in the comics after this point?
Reboot.
It's either a reboot. Oh, because they flash forward what a bunch,
like 10 years,
10 years ahead, and the zombies are smart now, using machine guns against the people.
And
I don't want to see
and
that.
And Rick is the president of the United States or something.
And Rick's the president of the United States.
It's weird, and that's why I stopped reading the comic book. Like, that was it. It was over. And Negan's like their friend. And it's weird.
Wait, Negan ends up being their friend?
Or he's, like, alive, at least.
Yeah, like...
I don't know. I stopped reading the comic book.
They build up to these points where it makes sense for the characters to do a certain thing. They accomplish their objective, and then by like the third episode of the next season, they're back to square one again.
And I knew something was going to go wrong with this show when Robert Kirkman announced that there's no end game. It's just going to keep going. He's like, I have limitless ideas. And
no, it's not limitless ideas. It's the same fucking story over and over again. We go out. We, at this point, know how to survive. We know how to fortify whatever town we go to. We split the party. We get captured. Wackiness ensues. Someone dies. Wash, rinse, repeat. Fuck that. That's like the dumbest shit ever.
So what would your end game be?
Fucking kill everybody. Kill everybody, or you know what? Hey, we found this one area. We only let the cool people in. We got it on lockdown. We're safe. The end. Like, I mean, what else is there? It's about them surviving. I don't need to see them survive another year. They've done a shitty job of it thus far.
Do you think the zombie apocalypse just ends ever?
I at some point, the zombie apocalypse has to end. Like, theoretically, I was thinking back to the movie 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm. And great movie. Great movie. One of my favorite zombie movies.
And at one point, like, yo, the zombies got to die out again. There's got to be a winter. Go fucking north. Yeah. Go north where it's cold. Let the zombies freeze out. Like, you have options. But no, we are going to stay in the hot place where the zombies will just never get frozen. And apparently, you know, we can't kill everybody. We can't kill every zombie. But man, like, it's got to hit a point where you get a sustainable society. You lock yourselves in somewhere and you're good. You get over. Eventually, you clear out the United States.
Eventually, they rot.
They have to rot.
They're rotting now.
Fuck.
Rot.
Seriously.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you think a person, like, you think of how long it takes for a person to kind of rot in the ground. And you think to a point where they're going to decay to where they can't, like, keep crawling, or they can't keep fighting, or can't keep biting. The shit's just not going to work. There's nothing sustaining the system. Go somewhere and wait it out.
Jesus Christ, Hambone, just tell them that.
They are not responding to any of my fan mail.
Well, I heard that they might be switching gears a little bit. I mean, I definitely think there's a little worry over the ratings. I think they need to do some sort of reboot. I think they need to finish storylines.
Something.
Finish storylines and make good endings to these storylines. And don't just kill people. And, oh, wait, big pet peeve. I hate shows that aren't good at writing multiple people but have ensemble casts. The biggest one ever was Lost that couldn't do it. Lost had an ensemble cast but did a miserable job focusing on everybody, so they would do individual episodes where we're just going to focus on you two this whole episode. That's bad writing. Game of Thrones, perfect example of how to do it right.
Yep.
Breaking Bad, perfect example of how you can do it right. You have an ensemble cast, you include them in almost every episode, and you write around them. You can move in and out and have multiple storylines going at the same time. The writing on Walking Dead is so bad, they just can't do it. So every episode is like, this is an episode with Rick and Daryl. This is an episode with blah, 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 blah. And it's just so boring that way.
Yep, I'm over it.
Anyhow, talking about something that's even more boring, we're just going to keep going down the boring line. Let's talk about DC's TV shows.
Sure. DC's TV shows are great.
People say that, but obviously they're not good enough to include those characters in the movies.
So what is your gripe with DC? Does, like, someone in a Batman costume touch you inappropriately once? Like, what's going on here?
DC, I don't know where you grow up, but in the hood, in West Orange, where I grew up, you either were a Marvel boy or a DC boy. And DC stood for Dad's Comics.
Wow.
Do you realize how bad DC Comics were in 1988, 89, 1990? They were garbage.
Actually, in the 90s, there was a serious renaissance where they had, like, some solid writers like Grant Morrison.
Robin 2?
Listen, that was a cash grab.
Robin 2.
We all know Robin 2 was a cash grab.
Shadow of the Bat.
Oh, Death of
fucking Superman.
That was actually very good.
No. You know what was good?
What happened after wasn't so good. You know?
The Mutant Massacre was good. Do you know what was good? Inferno was good.
Well, I can't argue
Do
that.
Do you know
Inferno
what was
great.
Good? Age of Apocalypse was good.
Well.
Do you know what was good? Oh.
Say it.
I completely forgot what I said.
Well, no, I mean, but see, DC had a lot of really great stuff going on at, around that time as well. Yeah, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Lobo. That's the only thing they had was Lobo, and then I grew up.
And then you grew up. My God. DC had a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Emerald Dawn.
The first Emerald Dawn was legit, and the, you're airjacking right now. In the so 80s. Hard.
I'm talking about Emerald Dawn 2. I'm talking about late 80s, early 90s, bad well, listen, stuff.
DC, for a little while, did go back to the well. That being said, from the 90s on, there was a big shift. You had stuff like James Robinson's Starman. You had Grant Morrison's run on Justice League. You had what, to me, which came a little later, almost 10 years later, but then you had things like, what's it called? Brad Meltzer, shit. You were airjacking. You made me laugh, and I forgot about it. For the Brad Meltzer story, God, George, I can't even remember. Anyway, the DC Universe, as we know it, is hot garbage on the movie screens. However, Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg years ago came up with a TV universe centered around the Green Arrow with a show called Arrow. The second show to spin off from that was Flash, and then we got Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl. What they've actually been doing...
What the fuck is Legends of Tomorrow?
Legends of Tomorrow is a time-traveling show where a bunch of B-list heroes fly around on a ship called the Wave Runner and fix time anachronisms. You know, you're snoring, but dude, it's actually really good. So what you have here over the course of the past couple days was a four-part crossover episode called Crisis on Earth X, in which all of our heroes across four TV shows face their counterparts from a Nazi-ruled world called Earth X. And for me, you know, I grew up reading the Justice League, the Justice Society. There was always these great wars in these comics where you had multiple characters fighting for a common cause. And ultimately, I think that's what they wanted to do with the Justice League, where you have the Justice League on the movie screen fighting against the hordes of Apocalypse. That fell completely flat. They couldn't develop three new characters in coordinates with the other characters that they had to make a single movie. Whereas for four episodes, you have over 14, 15 characters, each one with a moment to shine, each one with a specific reason to be there. They not only got through the storyline, they managed to develop stories to unfold in each individual series and have repercussions of shit that happened that's going to be widespread. I mean, this thing was huge.
Real talk.
Yeah.
There have been two good DC things ever.
What's that?
The first one, Superman 2 The Donner Edition.
Fantastic.
Two, Helen Slater and Supergirl.
Helen Slater, Supergirl.
Because Billie Jean,
dude,
it doesn't get better than Billie Jean.
Listen, I would never fight you on that. I would never fight you on that. What I'm going to tell you is this: for fans of the DC universe, for people who have been watching these CW series for years now, there's a lot of payoff happening. You know, with the Marvel movies, they started with the Incredible Hulk and then Iron Man, and they've been slowly building over 17 movies to a point where you have a grand universe coming together in what's going to be Avengers Infinity War. However, every few years, you'd have an Avengers movie where everyone comes together, and there's a lot of payoff to storylines. What happened last night and the night before was four series that have been going on for almost 3 to 5 years apiece.
Pause.
Yes.
What happened to Gotham?
We don't talk about Gotham.
Wait, isn't Gotham part of this?
No. Gotham. Gotham is on Fox, and Gotham is a completely different universe, and Gotham is hot garbage.
Really?
It's not that good.
It's a separate universe?
It's a separate universe.
All right, go ahead. Keep talking.
So what we had over the last couple of days was a very big payoff of a lot of storylines, a lot of characters coming together and actually being, without calling themselves the Justice League, because I'm sure DC and Warner Bros. Would not allow that to happen, the Justice League. And the Justice League fully went sick house on a world full of Nazis. It was awesome. Gotham, so what DC did was, over the last couple of years, was give properties to other channels. Like, so NBC had Constantine, which is Hellblazer. You're shaking your head like you don't know, but trust me, the listeners, someone out there listening is going to know this. Gotham was on Fox. Supergirl actually started on CBS. The ratings weren't strong enough, so CW snatched it to bring it to theirs, and now it's a smash hit.
Isn't Lucifer also on some channel?
Lucifer is like a Vertigo title. That's also on Fox.
Because Vertigo's the good DC stuff.
Vertigo's the DC stuff adults like you like. I like mine in tights. So...
Because you've been wearing them for the last 20 years.
Because I've been wearing them for the last 20 years. Wow, George. So Constantine got canceled on NBC, but now he's able to pop up on Legends of Tomorrow, which he's going to be popping up soon on. He's able to pop up on Arrow. So they're bringing these properties into the Berlantiverse because Warner is realizing that the only place it works is on the CW.
So if people want to jump in on this from the ground floor, where should they start? Because that was the hardest thing I have. I'm like, okay, I'll give you a chance. I started Green Arrow. I'm like, I'm bored. It's so cheesy. But The Flash is built off of Green Arrow, isn't it?
You could watch every one of these series separately, except for the episodes that actually cross over with the other series. I would say, for me, the best series that they have, bar none, is Supergirl. Front to back, Supergirl is the best series the CW is putting on right now. The best superhero series on TV, full stop. For you, I think maybe The Flash would be a good place for you to start.
Smallville?
Smallville was a completely different universe.
This universe stuff is what's bothering me.
Well, listen, you know, Marvel has multiple different universes, different Earths. Earth 616
yeah,
is our
planet.
Yeah,
but they don't do it on their TV shows and their movies.
Well, because now, all that shit that happened in Smallville, that's the past. The only thing that they're focused on right now is what's happening in the Berlantiverse on CW. Everything else is bullshit.
So where's Superman?
Superman is in Supergirl.
He exists.
Oh, he exists. He's actually been on the series.
All right.
They don't bring him on too much because it's her series, but he's there.
Are they going to spin off eventually?
I don't know. I mean, she is doing so good on her own. They don't need a Superman TV show, but he's there. He popped up and he was actually a great Superman.
Rant number one.
Boom.
Punisher.
Yes.
I finished it last night.
On which we agree.
Holy fucktards.
Right?
It was the best done Marvel series to date.
I would say it is neck and neck with Jessica Jones.
Nope. Jessica Jones, along with many of the other Netflix titles, have had that lull around 6, 7, 8. Like halfway through the season, there's that sense of comfort and there's boring episodes.
I wholeheartedly disagree with you.
This show was relentless.
Oh, it is not for people who are expecting to hear that good time Marvel. I think this is the one Marvel series where you didn't actually see Stan Lee's face anywhere.
Oh, has he been? I don't think he's been on the Netflix shows, has
yes.
he? Yes.
Yep.
I was so impressed by how well we talked about it a lot last week, so we're not gonna spend too long, but I want you to know I finished it now, and I wholeheartedly want to tell everyone to watch this show. It's not about an old white guy going around killing people.
Nope.
It's about a lot of people who have been screwed over, fucked over, had their lives destroyed, and they're trying to regain control.
Yep.
I love this TV show. I cannot give it any more praise than I'm giving it. Please go watch it. Beginning to end, it never falters. It never fails. Some of the best acting you'll see. And the payoff is there.
Yeah, absolutely. From front to back, this is everything that you could have hoped it was and more, because they took a character that could be really, really two-dimensional in comics and really, really flesh out. I mean, dude, if Jon Bernthal does not get an Emmy nod, at least an acknowledgement.
I don't think they're even looking at the Marvel properties, though. They do.
No, they do. They have to. I mean, that's the new TV medium.
The big question I got all week from people at work and on Twitter was, do I need to see Defenders? Do I need to see...
No.
The only thing you should see, but you really don't even need to see that, is you should see the first half of Daredevil Season 2.
And here's something else I'll say to you, and this is something I actually talked to George Clauso about today. He hit me up this morning because he was watching it. Where Defenders fell flat as a team show, Crisis on Earth X delivers. It is worth watching.
You're saying it's as good as Punisher.
It's different than Punisher.
But the problem is, though, you now have to go back and watch 5 seasons of other shows.
No, I honestly think you could... If you know the characters enough, you have the gist of what's happening... you could watch Crisis on Earth X. If you don't, you know, it's worth maybe just going on Wikipedia and figuring out some stuff. It's good to watch. It's a fun, enjoyable team adventure four-part movie.
And there you have it. That's the most we're ever going to talk about DC on this show ever again, or Hambone will self-destruct.
Yeah, I had to, you know, he lost a bet. That's why we're doing this.
Rant number two.
Number two.
Finally finished Mario Odyssey.
What'd you think?
I beat it in like, I don't know, maybe 8 hours. It was
8 hours?
Super easy. I checked. I did not have it on an easy mode. I did not have it on some like, I just plowed through it and it wasn't that difficult. And I just was like, wow, this is kind of, I don't want to say boring, but I just wasn't impressed. There was no twist. Princess did not actually fall in love with Bowser and was mad at me for ruining the wedding. There was no investment into the plot line.
You know
what
happened?
What?
Princess got mad at you for ruining a wedding?
I was hoping, but it didn't happen. She was in another castle or boat or something. I enjoyed it. I felt it was way too easy to beat. I thought it was way too linear, even though it wasn't. I was kind of... The thing about Mario 64, the greatest Mario game ever, next to maybe Super Mario World, was the openness. You could go anywhere. You could kind of do it here, but you also don't have much to do once you find the power moons you need to power your boat. And I just thought it was too short. I thought the story wasn't there at all. Like, it was a story of me trying to stop Bowser and Princess Peach's wedding.
Which is kind of like this every Mario
every
story.
Mario, except for Paper Mario / Mario RPGs, which are the best Mario games anyone will ever play. And if you don't have them, Super Mario RPGs on the Super Nintendo Classic, go get it. Paper Mario just as good, as well as all the other Paper Marios. The story was just not meh. So I think I'm going to start Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 this week.
That looks awesome.
I have Skyrim too, but I know if I start Skyrim, life is lost.
So let me ask you a question, George. Do you want to get to episode 50 of the podcast?
Of course.
Don't start Skyrim. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, but I did beat Fallout 3, 4 in Vegas, so I can. I also did get. I got about 75% through Skyrim on the Xbox 360 before it red ringed again. So
okay.
I am aware of what I'm in for.
All right, then. Yeah,
I thought the Switch would be good because I could play in the bathroom.
That's gonna be a long shit.
Yes, but it's got a kickstand, so I can balance it on my kickstand and then play in the bathroom.
Taking a dump, like smithing.
Yeah.
Smithing while you shit.
Exactly. I like to mold. I haven't pooped yet today.
Dude, George.
I just realized that. Like, that I haven't, because this morning the baby just would not go to sleep last night and had to earplug it. And lately we're just letting him cry it out and it's rough. And I woke up this morning, I was so late, I was just like, I don't have time to poop my poop. I'll just poop at work. And I got to work and I forgot to poop. And there I am. And here I am. And I haven't pooped yet.
That's tough, dude. That's tough.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought you needed to know. What's next? What do we talk about next?
I don't even
know. Isn't there another TV show we're talking about? We're talking about The Runaways.
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So what have you thought about? I love the comic book. Brian K. Vaughan, right?
So you read the comic, I will tell you, it is spot on with the comic. It is spot on with the comic. They've made some small adjustments. Molly is a little bit older than she was in the comics. That being said, that's it. That's really it. Like, you get to see the dynamic a little more with the parents. You get to see the relationship a little more with the parents. However, the heart of the characters is all there. They couldn't have cast better kids for it. They're 4 episodes in. 3 episodes dropped in the first dump with Hulu. Episode 4 just came out, I want to say, on Tuesday. And I mean, you even see Old Ace, which is great, you know? Yeah, I don't want to get too much far into it because you haven't seen it yet. However, I've been anticipating the series for a while, and it's in the Marvel Universe. However, it's so far out there. It's just taking place in California. So they're not doing kind of like an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where, yeah, we're in the Marvel Universe. We're trying to let you know we're constantly in the Marvel Universe, but we're not actually in the Marvel Universe. We're kind of like the Marvel Universe's stepchild. This one is just like, hey, we're in the Marvel Universe. Cool. We are the Runaways.
I'm going to do the Runaways. They're dumping in 3-episode dumps on Hulu, right? What, every week or so?
No, 3 episodes up front and then 1 episode every week after.
Okay, so they're doing it a lot like they did Handmaid's Tale?
Yep.
Because that's the name of it, right? That was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're doing it in that where... And I actually kind of like it better because I realized I will binge watch a show. So it's kind of better for me if I only have to binge watch three episodes, then I have something to look forward to. Kind of like a traditional TV model, except instead of giving you, you know, the series premiere, they give you the first three episodes, which I think is pretty awesome.
I'm going to wait to binge watch The Gifted, which yeah. I hear is very good now that it's like a full-on X-Men team. And I'm going to wait to... I got to binge watch Preacher. I heard Preacher found its course. It righted its path, and I think I need to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched the first few episodes. I wasn't impressed. I kind of gave up on it.
I'm sorry, but you like other DC crap. But the good DC stuff...
But
that
was the thing. The Preacher was one of my favorite comics I've ever read, and I just was kind of... I was kind of like left flat by
it. I think it's better binged.
Yeah?
I think... I'm going to try it. I'll let you know how it goes.
You let me know how it goes.
I'm going to binge it. I'm going to binge it hard. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., nope. A lot of nope right there.
Yeah, you know, I should give up on that show, but I just
you
can't quit it.
You still are going?
Yeah, I never... It kept coming on my Hulu, and I kept watching it, and I was like, it's something that's on. It hasn't done anything in years that's really thrilled me. However, I just keep going with it. I'm just hoping that it eventually pays out, and all these dildos show up in the friggin' Infinity War. Because to me, if... I swear to God, George, if at the end of the Infinity War, every one of these motherfuckers on every one of these shows across all platforms doesn't even show up for a second, I'm going to be pissed. Because then it's like, well, why did you make me watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for, like, 3 years if you're not going to have them at least make an appearance fighting some kind of Chitauri in Infinity War?
I really hope Punisher doesn't show up in Infinity War.
That'd be great.
No, that would be so dumb, especially with how grounded in reality that show actually is.
But he doesn't have to be doing nothing except just firing a machine gun off at some Chitauri. That's all I need. I don't need to hear him talk. I just need that cheap pop that's gonna come from, oh my god, it's right there.
Oh god, quick tangent again on Punisher.
Yes.
How many times do you think that actor watched First Blood?
Oh, all of them. He probably watched First Blood 187 times. It keeps getting better every time.
Just like he is so Sylvester. So he just imbues Sylvester Stallone. He just is him. Like, it's so like amazing. I think he even said one line like, I'm blanking completely right now. But there's actual lines I think they lifted straight from First Blood in that show.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me that they just took the dialogue of First Blood and just dropped it in there for him, I would have believed it.
It's never over.
It's never.
I think that line's in there. I'm pretty sure that's in there.
I think he said it at least
once. It's over, John. It's never over. As long as we have guys out there, it's never over. Oh my God, so good. So good. Rant number three.
Please.
So I'm still trying to do this book a month thing.
Oh shit.
November?
Yeah.
Bruce Dickinson.
Nice. How
we
was it?
We talked about meeting him. I've made it through the book. Have you read the book yet?
No, I haven't read the book.
So, how do I put this? He tells stories?
I read the first two chapters while I was waiting to give it
to
George.
But that's the boring, like origin story.
When I was a child, I had a radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells a lot of stories about, he's very passionate about talking about fencing.
Loves fencing.
And flying.
Loves flying even more.
He doesn't give any insight into anything. Dave Murray is mentioned like once. He's like, and then Nico McBrain joined the band and he's a great drummer, and then never talks about anyone ever again. Like, he just isn't taught. Like, there's no... He did say in an interview with I think Eddie Trunk recently that he like purposely didn't talk about people because it's not his place to talk about them. He's being political. But there's nothing, like, there's no insights. It's like, why did you write Fear of the Dark? He never even mentions Fear of the Dark.
It's not the dirt, everybody.
It's not. If you want to learn about how you became an Olympic-class fencer or how you wrote two children's books that you can't get nowadays, like, it's in there.
It's not even the sod.
There's, like, a whole lot or about, the AstroTurf. Like, the movie he made, Chemical Wedding, about Crowley, which I never knew existed, but it actually is on YouTube.
Really?
It's in there. He goes deep into flying in his first almost crash. But there's, like, I thought he was married. Didn't Vince Neil say, or Nikki Sixx say, fucked his wife in, like, in the dirt?
I think he did,
He hasn't mentioned anything about a family. I thought he had kids. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Like, there's no... from reading the book, I'm all the way up to Balls to Picasso, or right after. No, like, there is no family in this. There's no anything. There's just no soul. He's just reading his timeline.
It's like he's reading his day planner is what it sounds like to me.
Exactly. Like, today I did this. Today I did that. Today I quit the band. I told Ron Small when I'm quitting the band. And he just told the band I quit. And that's it. That's all that happened. I just got tired. I quit the band. Nothing bad.
Yeah. You know what, man? I look at it like I spent $30 to meet Bruce Dickinson. I'm cool with it.
So I don't hate the book, but there's nothing in the book you can't get out of like reading a Wikipedia page.
It sounds like you got more out of the Jericho podcast interview with Bruce Dickinson than actually reading Bruce's fucking
book. I'm getting
book.
More out of the Jericho book than I got out of the Bruce Dickinson book, because at least Jericho like goes into detail about different wrestlers and his time in certain federations and like how he created characters. There's like nothing, like there's just nothing about anyone in, there's just, I don't know. I just, the songwriting process, there's very little about, like, I came up with this line, blah, 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 blah. This is this line. I wanted to write a song about it being almost 2 minutes to midnight, because it, and it, I wrote it. And it's rough. Like, I just wanted a little more, like, detail. I wanted a little more, just something that we can't get from just reading a magazine article about you guys. Like, I think Run to the Hills, the Iron Maiden book that's long out of print, and sadly, I have the original press from when Blaze Bailey was in the band and ended with them, yep, chance of us ever getting back together with Bruce is slim to none. I never bought the, like, reprint, like, the epilogue version where Bruce rejoins the band. But that's a good book about Iron Maiden. There's real insight about them, and I just don't feel I'm getting much of anything. It sounds like he wrote, I believe he started writing in February. Like, he wrote this book in, like, 2 months, crammed it out, long form, longhand, and it's out, but and it's done.
You got to finish it, though, because you got to get your 12 books in.
It's going to get in. I'm, like, one book behind. I did the line. I did this Chris Jericho, the first book. I tried to do George's Money book, and realized I'm better off just
asking. It's a textbook!
I realized I'm better off just asking George to pick stocks for me.
It's a fucking textbook!
Like, just tell me what stock to buy, and I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I don't need to read the book. I get it. It's really tough to read. It's really tough to listen to to listen to footnotes in an audiobook.
Oh,
and there's a lot of them.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of them. So, and then I'm probably going to do The Handmaid's Tale. And maybe the How to Put Your Baby Do Sleep Training. Does that count?
I think that counts.
All right. So, let's talk about X.
Yes.
X is synonymous with Los Angeles to the point where they named their first album Los Angeles.
Right.
They are from the L.A., Southern Los Angeles punk rock scene, Southern California punk rock scene. There, they are on the same level with the Germs and Bad Religion and Black Flag and all those bands that were in a Decline of Western Civilization. One, X tied together rockabilly and punk rock and new wave. They were able to transcend punk rock and make it something completely different. John Doe, Ixzine, Billy Zoom, and DJ Bonebreak are four of the greatest artists in the world. And I find that they're not really thought of when people think punk rock. And I think it's because they don't sound like traditional punk rock that you don't get into them in high school.
Right.
You don't get into them when you really try to start getting into punk rock. You try again to Black Flag. The fact is you don't get into Black Flag until
sucks.
You... Hey, I don't think they suck, but you gotta lurk. You gotta be into some weird, weird stuff before you actually start loving Black Flag.
The Minutemen suck too.
The Minutemen suck. Yeah, Double Nickel on the Dime. I can't get it through it.
Two good songs.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. X is not that band. X, every album they've ever made, including the ones that are like their new wave albums, are perfect. Talk to us a little bit about your love for X.
So my love for X actually came when I was in high school. I got really into Husker Du, and I got really into The Replacements, and I grew up listening to rock and roll radio in New York, so I really loved The Clash. And I think because I loved The Clash so much, I was really open to a band like X. I went to the local Sam Goody that was in Clifton. I rode
Sam
my bike
Goody
there.
Represent
Sam Goody. And everything was overpriced then, but they had like these Best of Punk Volume 1 and 2 cassette tapes. And I bought them with, I think I had like $20. And I think I got them for like $15. That's how expensive they were back then.
$18.99.
They were really expensive. However, on these tapes, I found X-Ray Specs. I found Eddie and the Hot Rods, The Damned, and X. They had a version of Under the Big Black Sun on this cassette, and I immediately fell in love. And I really was jazzed on this. Now, I couldn't afford to buy any more cassettes of Sam Goody, so I went to see my neighbor Frank DiMaria. And he was like, and I said, have you ever heard of a band called X? And he just gave me a bunch of dub cassettes. So my first exposure to X was Under the Big Black Sun, More Fun in the New World, and a live cassette of Under the Big Black Sun Live. And to me, they were one of the best bands on the planet. I loved the fact that you had John Doe and Xene Cervenka singing together. I loved the way Billy Zoom played guitar. And a lot of people that I would try to turn on to X, they wanted to hear a very specific thing. You know, when you're a kid, when I was a kid, there was a point where unless a band sounded exactly like the Descendants, I didn't want to know them. I got into X just at the right time where I was really open to hearing them play.
I got into X because I felt like I needed to listen to X. Same reason I got into Clash. I'm like, I'm into punk rock. I'm in college. I need to like X because everyone likes X. I bought their... I believe it was like a double CD greatest hit / B-side CD. And I'm blanking on the name of it right now, but it was, I bought it at Sam Goody. I worked at Sam Goody and it still cost me a fortune, but I got that CD and I didn't love it. I think that's because there was a lot of B-sides on there, a lot of live tracks. So I didn't really truly get into the album. So it sat to the side until I got the book that changed my life. Michael Azarad's Our Band Could Be Your Life.
Absolutely. One of the best ever written.
The book that made me pick up a guitar, the book that made me want to start a band, the book that made me fall in love with music again and learn about so many different bands. And I think everybody out here, if you haven't already, go get Michael Azarad's Our Band Could Be Your Life.
It's still in print, right?
It's still in print as a soft cover. I have a first edition hardcover. Absolutely the best book for learning about music and artists. X is in there. I love their story. I love the story about how Xene and John Doe fell in love and formed a band and fell out of love. And then she married that movie director.
Viggo Mortensen.
Which is just weird.
From the Lord of the Rings.
And Billy Zoom like loved to build Vespas and amps, which is I love building Vespas and I love amps. And DJ Bonebreak is a tiki aficionado.
Oh, he is a big tiki aficionado.
He's in this all other bands he's in. He plays the xylophone on. He's vibraphones. He's like a real hardcore Super String Orchestra is his tiki band that he's in, and I own a couple of their albums. Some of the best stuff you'll hear if you're into Exotica. Billy Zoom loves Jesus and scooters, so it's cool.
Oh yeah, and he actually sits down while playing now. He doesn't actually stand up anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Every photo I've seen on them recently, he's got a stool. He just kind of.
It's not an acoustic set. No. I thought they were doing acoustic sets.
No. He's got his Gretsch and he's sitting.
And obviously, Xene now doesn't believe 9/11 happened or something.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
So let's not talk about where they are out now.
Yeah.
So when I fell in love with X was when I bought. I then went. Rhino reissued their first four albums.
Right.
And I bought them immediately. That's where I realized, oh, this band taken in their individual eras is how you appreciate them the best.
Right.
Los Angeles punk album. That's the
straight up punk album.
Decline of Western Civilization. Go watch it. It's on Blu-ray now with all the bonus stuff. Decline 2, also watch that. The best of the metal years.
You can skip 3. It's emo.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's crust punk.
No, I don't.
You're emo.
Shut up.
So I bought the albums and everybody, you know, didn't love the later stuff. I thought it was great.
So here's the thing. So when I was 13, I got all those cassettes. I got all the early stuff and I was like, this is the greatest. So I got some more money in my pocket, hopped on my bike, went back to Sam Goody and I bought See How We Are. Now, what no one told me was at that point, Billy Zoom was out of the band. It was the first Dave Allen record. And I wasn't ready for it and I hated it. Because it didn't sound like the X that I loved. Fast forward to now, it's one of my favorite X records. It's one of the ones that I will put on first before anything else. Because it's weird. You're right. You look at them, they're a different band every album. Slightly. I think that, what was it? More Fun in the New World? And the one that in Under the Big Black Sun was Ray Manzarek saw them at the Whiskey and took them under his wing and started producing their records.
and Ain't Love Grand and See How We are the ones that people don't love.
Right.
But I think those are great albums.
Looking back now, they're fantastic records.
Under the Big Black Sun and More Fun in the New World are the two records that I think they really honed their sound.
Agreed.
And their style. I love Wild Gift. Obviously, Los Angeles, great album.
Right.
They released the album I was actually thinking of before is Beyond and Back, the X discography, and that is, it's a great, great collection, but again, it's got also a lot of demo
stuff.
It's
got a lot of filler on it.
So it's hard to really, like, truly enjoy it. The album I really recommend people get is Live at Whiskey A Go-Go. I got it on vinyl. I think it's still available if you look, use, possibly.
Right.
Definitely check it out. I got those records. I immediately was like, I love this band. The problem was they weren't together. Or they were sporadically together. They weren't really together. I think they were on hiatus. But I saw John Doe a whole bunch of times.
I saw John Doe before I saw X. He would pop up all the time at Maxwell's.
I'd see him with the Kills. See him like always in Maxwell's doing his singer-songwriter stuff. And he would do X stuff as part of that.
Folks, let's not bury the lead here. If you have the chance to go see John Doe in an acoustic guitar, go.
Yeah, it was like I got the same good feelings I used to get when I used to see Frank Black perform Pixies songs on his own, rather in a small smoky club, rather than seeing the Pixies kind of phone it in at like the Hammerstein Ballroom.
So I've only seen X once, right? Because they really weren't together. They weren't really around. And when they used to come back to the East Coast, they would do festivals, but they would do like one-offs at festivals, and they would do like the Guinness Fla Festival, which a buddy of mine was like, "You're gonna go? X is there?" And I'm like, "I want to go." Are they headlining? They playing a big? They're playing one of the side stages, and they're playing like 10 songs. They're only playing at this one day, and I'm like, "I'm not gonna spend like the money to go to this festival just to not hear anything I want to hear." Their 30th anniversary tour came around. It was their 13. They called it the 13 for 31. Their Total Request Live tour, where they asked
at the Bowery Ballroom, Irving Plaza.
Bowery. They asked the fans to make the sets.
Yep.
And me, Jen, Ian, and one of my ex-girlfriends went. And it was probably one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen in my life. They played nothing outside of the first like 4-5 records. And the encore, first thing they came back to the encore, was just John Doe and an acoustic guitar. Next scene, they did 4th of July. Bro. And that's when Billy Zoom was like still walking around his leather jacket, smiling, talking to girls. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I saw them at the Irving Plaza. I saw them, I think, twice at the Bowery Ballroom.
Yeah.
I also saw them at Riot Fest performing Los Angeles in its entirety, which was okay, but I kind of would have liked to see them play something. Los Angeles is great, but they've done much better stuff since then.
So much better stuff, yeah.
So I definitely, it's the 40th anniversary. They are touring. I say try to catch them if you can. I will make an attempt to. It always seems to be on the wrong time in my schedule, but I always try.
Well, if you're going, I'll go.
And for music, you know, get Los Angeles. Just start with Los Angeles and just buy everyone afterwards. Or just buy Live at the Whiskey A Go-Go and work your way back. But, you know, there's no bad X album. People will complain about them being a little more new wave. But
Jesus was a terrible X record.
Jesus is not an X record. I will stand by Josh and just say that album doesn't exist.
It's Jesus and Fat Elvis, two things we don't ever talk about.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't really subscribe to that being a... Yeah, that was 1993.
Yeah.
I don't I've never even heard that album.
You know what you could do with X? You could stop with See How They Are.
I would say that's fair. Los Angeles, you know, Live at Whiskey Go-Go was
yeah, but that doesn't count. It's a live record. We're talking about like actual recorded records. Stop with See How They Are.
I
let
agree
that
with
be
that.
Their swan song.
There was also a Christmas album in 2009. The one thing I did want to talk about really quickly that I just blanked on beforehand was the X documentary, The Unheard Music. It is so well done. I don't know if I mentioned it when we did our big documentary music rock doc episode a while back, but X The Unheard Music is the story of them making their second album and trying not to get the sophomore slump. And it is crazy because up till then, the only thing we've seen of them is what's in Decline of Western Civilization. This movie, however, they've now become a band. They're actually kind of popular, and it's really, really interesting to see them, you know, try to like be lovers and be a band and make music. And it's a really great look into the making of rock stars and legends. So definitely check out X The Unheard Music. It's actually on YouTube. just by looking here. I think it's also on Blu-ray or DVD. Hambone, what do you love this week?
The Runaways. I know I said it before
in our segment. I hate when you do that.
But, dude, it's what I love this week. I am so shit excited as a fan of the comic that they're doing such a good job with The Runaways on Hulu. And I definitely think that if you don't have Hulu, get a free trial just to watch The Runaways for this month. It is definitely worth watching.
And then watch Handmaid's Tale if you can, too, because that's amazing and on Hulu, too. This week, I know I'm going to regret this, and I know I'm getting my hopes up, but the thing I love most about this week is the birth of Woken Matt Hardy.
What?
Matt Hardy is breaking in front of our eyes. He's doing it with Bray Wyatt. I am so excited, but I also know that there is no way in hell that Vince is going to give them the time. I mean, they used to have a third of Impact Wrestling was dedicated to the Hardys shooting backyard footage of them wrestling.
You know what, though, man? Fashion Police is a big deal over at
SmackDown.
At SmackDown. And you know, John Cena was probably like, let this happen, Vince. And Vince was like, oh, John Cena, okay, whatever you say.
I don't know about this. I want to see it happen. It's set up just like it was last time where Jeff Hardy got injured, cost them the titles, and then he floundered and was injured the whole time. Matt was being beaten around. He snapped and blamed it all on Jeff Hardy, hence the Brother Nero, Jeff Hardy storyline.
Right.
Matt Hardy storyline. I'm so happy that they're going to do it again. But part of me, my heart also says, that story was done. I mean, the breaking, the final deletion, the follow-up, the quest for
expedition
gold,
for
the expectation
gold.
From gold, the fact that they earned all the gold all the way to WrestleMania where they won the
got
titles.
The titles.
Finished in a House of Hardcore. The story is done.
It is done. However, I think that there's still room for him to be the character and to really, because look, right now, he is floundering on Raw TV. I feel as if he got this character back. And believe me, I know a thing or two about having something that was yours and fighting to get it back. And when you get that back, man, you do what the
Your
fuck you want with it.
Masculinity?
I've never gotten that back, George. But when you get that back, man, you do what you want with it. And I feel like, you know, if he's going to be out there in the mid-card, maybe him doing this character will get more people psyched about going to house shows. Maybe him doing this character will just get him psyched to go to work every day and get the crowd happy to see him doing it. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think cautiously optimistic is the way to go into it. But I won't lie, I posted on our Facebook group. I popped so hard. I said, gosh, I think it's happening. He's broken again.
Hambone, this leads us to the end of another excellent episode of My Thai Happy Hour.
I agree.
How can they reach you? How can the kids get in touch with you? How can the women tell you look so hot in those new jeans?
Slide into my DMs, girls. I'm on Twitter, @Hambreaker. That's kind of the best way to get in touch with me because I don't want anyone to know about my personal life on Instagram. But if you find me on Twitter, I'm @Hambreaker. I am constantly tweeting mostly about wrestling in the DC Berlantiverse because I'm a fanboy. And, you know, hoping that we don't go to nuclear war soon.
Also on Tinder and all those fun
I'm not
ass.
On Tinder. I'm on the Bumble. You
swipe,
can find me on the Bumble.
Swipe right every time.
Please, somebody.
Swipe left, swipe right.
The holidays are coming.
I know. He needs it. We are here for you, Hambone. We need this man to the expedition of vagina to end in happiness. Sure. In happiness.
Where can they find you, George?
They can find me at GLK Creative on Instagram, at GLK Creative on Twitter. They can reach me at cultofgeorge.com, where I've been a beast lately. Just post up a great review of the Mai Kai, the mighty Mai Kai, greatest tiki bar in the world. Also did a review of the, what else did I review? Radioactive Records in Florida, which was fantastic. I am everywhere. You can also find our archive at MaiThaiTV.com if you want to watch and see every episode from episode number one. And you can still book me for your wedding next year at GLKCreative.com. That is us. I am George. This is Ambone. We are psyched. We are hyped. Take us out.
Everybody, remember, be nice. Aloha.
Do 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 do